Welcome one, welcome all, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 39, coming at you, step right up. Hey, Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. And for more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can also check us out on Facebook, The Portal. And you can find us at Portal Gaming 60 is our handle on Twitter. Portal Gaming Podcast is also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. We are super happy to be associated with those fine folk. And yeah, that's our intro. So super exciting. I am your host, The Brant, and with me as always is...
Your co-host, Brian.
Awesome. And we are here to bring you episode number 39, Their Fire Has Gone Out of the Galaxy. Because we're going to be talking about some games that need a second chance. That we feel like, you know, maybe we don't really think about them anymore, but they deserve a second chance from us. This is just our opinion. They could be terrible games. We don't know. And then we're also going to talk about some like classic type games or games from our childhood or just like modern classics even, I think, work. Games that we've gone back to play and just, hey, I keep forgetting to bring this one out and this one's great too. So kind of both ends of that spectrum. So that's where that comes from. Awesome. That's all that. Yeah. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well. It's been nice. Like the weather has been really, really great. So, you know, we're kind of turning that corner, it feels like, and then we'll probably get hit with another cold spell.
But... Yeah, snowstorm yeah. and all that. Yeah, I know. When we were in New York weeks ago, and it was like 70 degrees when I was walking through Times Square.
Yeah, I know. It's been beautiful. Like the snow is kind of pretty much melted at this point. Now it feels like I want to be outside and, like, you know, playing Ultimate or Disc Golf or something like that. You
new
know?
Disc Golf course going in.
You see that? I saw that invitation.
Down near us, so we'll have to check that out, although I'm afraid to play with all the, like, sharks that'll be there on that day when something's not, opening.
Like, Disc Golf players.
Yeah, not the sharks in the water.
Yeah.
So, have to see about that, but we got to get out to the Manchester one as well, Wickham Park, and play there, so.
Yeah, I think that opens up beginning of April, though. I mean, I know there's another one out in Manchester as well, but...
Yeah. Right. So, awesome. So there's all that outdoor goodness, and then, like you said, it's going to get cold, and we'll forget about it, but all that kind of stuff. So, let's just jump straight to some upcoming events. International Tabletop Day. That's a big one.
Yep. That'll be Saturday, April 29th. So, again, we're doing that 24-hour board game marathon sort of style thing. So, it's kind of... We just got the date a little while ago, so it's still kind of getting all the logistics together for, like, what games are actually going to be played or taught or, you know, what tournaments are going to be run. But we're going to be doing it. Hopefully, we can get some promos and that sort of stuff, too. It doesn't seem like it's as... So, I guess I should backtrack a little bit. Last year, they had changed up the format, you know, and they sent out a retailer kit through a sign-up, like a free retailer kit. Which was new to them. They had previously done like a pay X number of dollars to get either like a premium kit or a basic kit for promos. Last year, like I said, they switched it up for a freebie kit. They sent it out to all the stores that participated. And, you know, it wasn't as like, there weren't as many sought after items, but it was still decent. Mm-hmm. This year, it seems like they're going away from the kits entirely. And we have to order like kind of piecemeal stuff from our distributors. But again, it's still like, I think most of it's going to actually be put up for us to purchase tomorrow, so I'll know a little bit more then. But I've seen a couple things trickle in, but I think the bulk of it's going to be like a little delayed, and it seems like they're kind of figuring this out too. So, but no, I mean, hopefully they can really support it. I know we've got some promos that we've been given over the course of the year or so, so we'll be bringing those in and doing some sort of stuff like that. But, yeah, we'll be doing that, and hopefully we'll have more of that style, you know, promos and such.
Nice. Yeah, it should be good. I'll do my classic. I'll go to sleep on Friday night and sleep till, you know, midnight, 12:30, and I'll be there a little bit late.
Yeah.
So, but when I get my sleep beforehand, my beauty sleep makes all the difference in the world, so I can make it through the day. So,
yeah.
I'll be there. Yeah, I'm excited. They'll be like, we're trying to put together like some demo stuff so people have things like some of the hits of 2016 or, you know, games that we just think people should try. So I'll probably be in that crew of, mm-hmm. of demoing games. It's kind of my favorite thing to do. Well, yeah. Teach games. I mean, demo's good too, but yeah.
I guess that does tie in a little bit. I remember Merchants and Marauders. We played that once.
Yeah,
at the very
we almost
tail
ended
end.
Our friendship.
I don't think that one's gotten a second chance.
Yeah,
for games,
no,
but
I'm done with that one.
But no, so that'll be end of April, April 29th, all day Saturday. So come down for that. Leading into that week or that weekend, we're gonna also have a couple library events between now and then. So the beginning of March, the first Saturday in March, and I believe the first Saturday in April. We're going to be helping host the Manchester library events that we've been doing every month. You know, so a new couple games. I know the first one, like the one in March, we're really trying to showcase stuff from Tabletop, from mm-hmm. the show, the web series with Will Wheaton. So those have been, you know, really good games that are good on the like the entry level spectrum, as well as some that are a little bit meatier too. So that one's exciting. I think we're still trying to lock down what we're doing for the beginning of April. A lot of it is dependent on what's going to be released between now and then, so we're keeping our eyes open for that stuff, too.
Nice. Yeah, I'm stoked because Champions of Midgard is one of the games. I love that
nice.
Game.
Yeah.
That game is so good. They just put the expansions up.
Did you see the like on, the like, Viking meeples that are part of the pack?
Brutal.
I know.
I
yeah.
can't back it right now. Like
you'll just keep the Viking meeples from Vikings.
Yeah, I'll just keep the ones I stole from you.
Yeah,
so they're great. Yeah, I'll have my own unique. Where'd you get the? How'd you get your own? I whittled my own Viking meeples and painted them, or stole them from Brian. So those are our upcoming events. So we'll jump right into what's on your table. I'm gonna go first. So, I have right here One Deck Dungeon, and this is something that I've been wanting to play for a while. This game by Chris Sieslick and Asmodee Games, and so One Deck Dungeon is a dungeon crawl, and inside the box there is one deck, exactly one, and then some other cards. So you pick a character to be. There are five different characters in the box. And they are all female representations of your kind of standard class. Mage, warrior, paladin, all these fantasy archetypes. And then you jump into the dungeon. So you have a bunch of skills, and your skills are represented by dice. You've got yellow dice for strength, and you've got pink dice for agility, and you've got blue dice for magic, and then you have black dice, which are heroic dice, which are wild. They count as anything. It's a game for one or two players. If you buy another copy of the game, because it's kind of a smaller box game here, then you could go up, I guess, to four. There aren't really three-player rules. Don't know how that works. Haven't tried it. Only have one box here. But anyway, so you go into the dungeon, and then you're just flipping cards. So every turn, you flip over two cards from the deck. And that's not a good thing, because you don't want to go through the deck quickly, because you want to kill monsters and kind of level up. So you flip two at your turn, and then you can fight monsters. You got a bunch of like face down doors, and you can knock down the door and then fight the monsters. So what you do is you take your dice, or you pool your dice if you're working with another player, and you roll all the dice, and then there's all these little numbers on the cards with colors. So if there's a pink four, I need to put a four or higher die on that box. And then you're basically trying to cover up all the boxes. The armor boxes you have to cover first, so you have to be able to cover armor before you could do anything else. And the other boxes are kind of optional, but they either deal damage to you or take away time from you. Every time you fight a monster or peril, you beat it, so it's just a matter of what you lose to it in the process. You lose the whole game if one of the players goes down, takes as much damage as they have health. So you're trying to avoid that. You do have some potions you can drink and whatnot. But the best part of the game is every time you face one of those things, you beat it, and then you level up. And you've got all sorts of different options. It can just go straight to your group XP, and you can level up your XP, and then you can enhance the group. So every encounter, you get an extra one of those heroic dice, or you get another potion, or other things that you can open up more skills. Or you can get a skill or an item. So items attach and give you more dice to roll of various colors or possibly health. And then skills attach and they do all sorts of things. This is all your dice mitigation. And that's the really fun part of the game, is that it's a great romp of dice mitigation. Because, yeah, you're rolling dice, and there are definitely those times where it's just straight up, you need a blue six, and you just can't get it if you didn't roll it. But there's all these skills that'll say, like, discard a pink to roll another blue and a black, like all this kind of stuff that you can get. And so that's really fun. And also the party works together. So Brian, I may give Brian an ability where he can re-roll his ones or something like that. And so it's just really fun. So I've now played it with you, Brian. I played it with my wife. I have solo played it, and I've set it up with my daughter, but we didn't quite get to playing. She got distracted by other things. I love it. It's super fun. It's just so fast and simple. That dice mitigation is really fun. You totally get hit by the random stuff, but it's never like, oh, I'm sunk. Like, you don't take tons and tons of damage. You can absorb some, or you can do little tricks to figure out, like, okay, we're limping along here. We're limping along, and you could just keep going. Most of the time, you're losing that time element. You're losing cards off the deck. I should mention, to get through it, you have to go through the deck 3 times. So every time you finish the deck, you can go down to the next level. It kind of increases difficulty through, like, natural boxes that are there that you have to cover. And then once you go through 3 times, you have to fight the boss. And then the boss has its own little, like, multi-round combat. So my only negative with the game is it says 30 minutes on the box, and it's not 30 minutes. I've yet to play it at that time. It feels like it could be 30 minutes, but you probably get through the deck in about 15 minutes with all the thinking, because there's a lot of thought process. And then that puts you at 45 minutes plus the boss fight. So it pushes closer to an hour. But if you're having a good time, it's just not a big complaint. It's not like, oh, it outstayed its welcome. It's like slightly, you know.
So, like, solo and with, like, another play. Like, I mean, either way, it kind of takes about the same.
I think solo's harder.
Okay.
In terms of, because there's, like, you're really on the edge. Yeah. And it was interesting. So the solo was interesting, though, because you're rolling, like, 8 dice from the start, or 6 dice or something, and then you're adding more. And, like, so by the time I got to the boss fight, I was rolling like 14 dice, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
You know, and then the mitigation from there is neat. But I mean, you literally have abilities that are just like, turn that one into a six. So you don't really have to worry about, you know, hey, if I rolled poorly. So that is one deck dungeon. What was your opinion on your single play there?
Yeah, no, it was fun. I probably would have played it again if you hadn't grabbed it, but I don't think, I definitely want to try it again. So I liked it.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. So, the first one I'm going to talk about is Assault of the Giants by WizKids Games. So, I don't know all the flavor to it, but basically every person controls a clan of giants, in a sense, you know, like the frost giants or storm giants, cloud giants, that sort of stuff. And you're all kind of trying to fight over the lands of D&D. What section is this? You know, the...
I don't know, because it encompasses a whole bunch of, like, Icewind Dale and Neverwinter or the Neverwood and all those places that I always pictured as these giant lands, but these are single spaces on the board.
Yeah,
my lore isn't there.
But basically, each person is controlling a clan of those giants, you know, and you have these really nice minis of giants, obviously, and it's kind of that area control style. Not area control. You're trying to take over different areas, and it's very much card driven. You know, you've got like a hand of cards, and they all have the different actions. Like, maybe it's recruit more giants, or, you know, trade with an opponent or the deck or something like that. Another one's like move or attack. I'm trying to think of all the other ones. There are a few more. I know there are like specialty ones for each clan, you know, where one kind of gives like a benefit to that specific one, kind of around their theme. Like, each one's trying to do something a little differently than the others. But basically you'll be playing these cards over the course of the game. Each turn you play one card and do the actions on the card. And as it goes along, like, your next card you place to the right of the one you had previously played. So it kind of builds up, like, each card can affect the future ones that you've played, or, you know, that one that you play in the future is affected by the quantity of cards you've played prior to it. You know, so, like, for example, the movement card says, like, our mind was, like, move a total number of four times, and you get one additional movement for each card you've played prior to this. You know, so it kind of goes over like that. Eventually there is a card where either you're forced to play it or you just play it because of the benefit that it gives you, but it lets you collect all the cards that you had played prior to that. So you'll take all those cards back in your hand and you'll be able to play any of them your next turn. But basically that's the bulk of it. You're trying to get points. I forget what the the flavor for them were.
Ordning points.
Basically, you're trying to collect those through all these different ways. Like, combat will give you points. You know, getting rid of, like mine was, like, focused on discarding artifacts to get you points. They're trying to, like my clan was really trying to focus on that aspect of of the game. And, I guess I wasn't as in tune with the other ones. I know there was one person that was trying to make all these treaties with the, like, the common folk that are on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was trying to basically attack everyone. Yours, what was your ability?
Mine was attack everybody and summon a giant flame demon thing to then go destroy dragons across the lands, which he would just do automatically. He would just roam around and kill them on his own.
but basically, yeah, everyone's kind of got their own objective, and you know, at the end of the, like, once a set number of victory points runs out, it'll trigger this, like, next phase of the game where it's not, like, there aren't as many points, but you're trying to, like, collect those remaining ones that are in, like, a common pool. And then once those run out, everyone basically gets one more turn, and then it's whoever has the most points wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess I didn't go into Assault of the Giants thinking this is my style of game.
Mm-hmm.
And we also did play with the maximum player count.
I think it could play six.
Okay.
Because we had the Earth Giants.
We played a very large player count. We played five players. So, I guess six sounds about right. We played five players. It felt pretty tight and pretty, you know, constricted, you know, kind of forcing the hand of, like, attacking and doing all that sort of stuff. And I think I do shy away from that. That's not what I enjoy in a game. Mm. But I didn't hate it. I think a lot of the table was kind of ragging on it a bit and kind of doing this, like, oh, you know, like, this is just like a luck fest. But it was decent. I mean, it's definitely not one that I'm going to, you know, get back to the table anytime soon. But I would probably be more apt to try it with a lower player count and see if the board is a little more open to, like, you know, just kind of, like, I guess I'm kind of the one that would hedge toward, like, turtling or doing something like that where you're staying away from combat but being protective about it. And I think that would probably be where I'd want to try this out and try to build an engine with my group rather than, like, build up, attack, in that sense, you know? Yeah. So I guess that's kind of where I was coming at. We did play, so with this game, there are two copies, like, two editions. There's one where you just get the standard, like, unpainted figures and you kind of what you'd expect from the majority of games that are out there. But the one we played with was the premium edition. So in that you get, you know, all your, all the big giants at least are pre-painted and they look really great. Like it's a really good production. Yeah. So I don't know. I know you weren't.
So my overall negative with the game is it just felt frustrating. So there were just, if I just pick out these points, it was like the board filled up so quickly and that was frustrating. Like I didn't feel like I could find a clever place to go or a place to move. It was literally just pick up your hammer or your axe and just smash face, which was fine because mine was pretty strong at doing that. And I don't mind attacking. I like attacking, but it just felt like that was it. I'm just supposed, you could only attack once and then you pick up all your cards and then you reset. And combat seemed like it was intended to be clever, but eventually it just felt like a dice fest. Like, I felt like, okay, there were cards they allowed you to lay down, and if you lay deeds down earlier, then you get additional rerolls, and you get to activate your hero's special ability, And then you go in and you get to roll dice, but it maxed out at 7 dice. And that's hugely limiting on the attacker. You know, the defender's sitting there and, you know, I mean, maybe they could put a whole bunch of units to defend a turret, but the attacker's like, okay, well, I attack with 15 attack, yeah, and I get 7 dice. Right. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to kill one thing in there, you know, based on my die roll, probably, let alone all of them, because the defender gets to decide what they lose. So if they just put one giant unit with 9 health in, you've got to make sure you do 9 damage by rolling your dice.
Mm-hmm. And kind of going with what you were saying, like, I could bring 2 units to battle, and all of a sudden their attack is at 7. So they're, like, with 2 units, I'm already rolling 7 dice.
Right.
And, you know, my group might have been able to stretch it to 3 units attacking, but, like, it feels like you want to, like, ramp it up. Like, if you brought in 4 units, it feels like, hey, my force is pretty powerful. Like, yeah, I should be able to do a little bit more than you, but...
Yeah. So then the other thing was, there's these events that everybody's trying to do, and I'm totally cool with jumping in and just figuring it out and, like, okay... Whatever this event is, whatever yours, I don't need you to read them all to me and figure them out. But you needed to know them. Like, it felt like I needed to know, how do I stop you and what's your event? And oh my gosh, if I was playing with 6 people, I mean, it was 5, I have to know my own event, which I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to do. Get to a certain location that you randomly blocked on the first turn, so I couldn't even move there. You just moved. Right. So it was like 2 turns of attacking, which is... playing through my cards, attacking, picking them up, playing through my cards, attacking. Now I can do that. Like,
right.
Or the other option was to get these green rune cards, which were just shuffled into a resource deck that you drew cards from, like, X number based on moving out. And I didn't move on the first round early because I thought, oh, I'll build up and then I'll move. But I didn't realize you kind of get stuck. And then moving is a bonus because you get to draw more of those cards. But... there were, like, 5 green runes in the deck, or maybe 7, and the deck was, you know, 50 cards. Just could not draw one, and, you know, you could eventually get it, because somebody would spend their green rune, and then you could dig it out of the discard pile. So there was, like, kind of mechanisms there that you could say, well, it's there to help you, and so that you can do this, but it still felt frustrating, like, oh, you could trade with somebody, but you couldn't really force them to give you a rune easily, or... get them to give you one, like, that was the thing they needed, so you could go to the discard pile to trade. So it just that all felt frustrating, like, oh, I definitely would have done this on the first turn. And again, sometimes I just feel like when I'm playing a game for the first time, people just have to, like, suck it up, like, sorry, but it was a tough thing. It was like, oh, you know, I didn't realize my whole goal is to get these here, you know. And other people did, which is great. That's awesome. Like, they should totally do better because they realize that stuff. But you need to know. So you have to go around and tell everybody, this is what you're trying to do. This is what you're trying to do. This. So this is a great opening move, or you want to do this within the first 2 actions of the game. So all that just felt very frustrating. And the dice rolling, again, I don't mind dice rolling. And it was mitigatable, but it didn't feel mitigatable enough. Like, it didn't feel like there was enough. It was like, oh, if I roll these arcanes, which are like 1 and 6, I can flip them to either a single attack or whatever. Or I could play these resource cards. But again, if I get these resource cards, great. But I'm really trying to dig for these runes, because that's ultimately what I need to score points. Yeah. So that was just kind of my take. I agree with you. We're talking about second chance games. I think it would be a second chance. Totally love to try it at 3.
Yeah.
You know, and see what the board was like. That would be interesting to me. 6, no way. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot
board. I wouldn't play with 5 again.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I would play with
4 5. 4 might be tight. You know.
Yeah.
But
it was interesting the board didn't open up, or maybe there's another side to the board.
No, I checked.
Okay. Like our classic Hansa Teutonica.
Unless it consisted of 1 black space. But
that would be interesting. That's the arena battle.
So, all right. Yeah, that was Assault of the Giants by WizKids.
Nice. Okay, next up I have Quests of Valeria, and this is a game I got off of Blasphemy Kickstarter. I don't know if store podcasts are supposed to talk about Kickstarter games, but we're going to do it. So Quests of Valeria is the 3rd in the Valeria line of games. So there was... Villages of Valeria. I'm cheating. Valeria Card Kingdoms. And then Villages of Valeria. And now Quests of Valeria. So I did not play the previous 2. As far as I know, Valeria Card Kingdoms is a Machikoro style game. People say it's better than that. And Villages of Valeria is a Valeria style game.
So you don't know anything about that.
For one to five players, ages 16 and up, 14 and up, in 45 minutes. I haven't played that one. That one filled pretty recently, though, I think, from Kickstarter. And then this one came right behind. So they've been doing that. So this is from Daily Magic Games. And so what's happening in Quests of Valeria is you're trying to complete quests. So a lot of people equate it with Lords of Waterdeep. You're trying to collect, you know, certain characters in your guild that you could then send out to do the quests. And, you know, you need to have three characters with coins and characters with magic. And you need to have a character of a certain type. So you need, like, a warrior. And you need a shadow, which is like a thief. And then you send them out and they complete the quest. And you get victory points. And then you get, like, bonus actions in the game. So that's kind of what you're doing overall. Everybody has a guild master that scores bonus points. Very much like the Lords of Waterdeep in Lords of Waterdeep. They can score bonus points. The first player to score 5 quests, you then finish the round. So whoever the first player was, you go from there. And the game's over and you count points, and it's very simple. And it's, you know, one of these 20 to 40 point, you know, for a win or so. Nah, probably not even 40, probably 20 to 30 for a win, somewhere in there. So on a turn, it's pretty simple. You have 4 actions. So you have a hand of cards that come from the character deck or the guilds. And then you have the quest deck. You can very simply draw a card off that deck. Or you can hire somebody from the row. So there's like 6 cards laid out in a row, and it's very much like Through the Ages. But you discard like Race for the Galaxy. So the first one is free. You don't have to discard anything. Then 1, 1, 2, 2, 3. So you can hire these characters, and these characters all have bonus abilities. Steal a card from another player, draw 2 cards from the deck, hire somebody else, and that's where you get like a whole bunch of chaining. So you can do 2 actions on your turn. So you could like hire somebody to hire somebody else to then hire them to draw cards and yada, yada, yada. There's even characters that when you hire them, you could immediately complete a quest. Your other actions then are you could reserve a quest so that it's only yours. You can only have 1 at a time, kind of a la Splendor. And you can just straight up take an action to complete quests. And then you move the row down and you shift the row of quests down and you just keep playing. Simple game, simple ideas, you know, a little bit to wrap your head around. But then the fun is that, like, chaining and figuring out how to get the most. And, ooh, I want to complete that quest. Or, ooh, I'm going to set myself up for this. And it's just that right extra amount of, like, oh, I get this. Oh, I could do that or that. And, like, thinking through those combos. So there's a little bit of AP there. I don't really find it that frustrating. But, you know, people are... There's some times where people are trying to figure out things to do and whatnot, but really fun. I think because of that AP and that whole style, like 2 players is probably better than 3, 4, or 5 because you just get your turns faster and there really isn't a big change. Like adding more players doesn't really add more depth to the game, just more time. So it goes 1 to 5. I did play the solo play, which is interesting. You play those decks all the way out and you're just trying to score the maximum points you can. That was interesting. It was fun. I don't know that I'd go crazy to do it all the time. But really fun at 2. 3's probably fine. 4 gets a little bit long, and I think 5 would just be a lot of downtime, so it would just kind of lose that zest. But that is Quests of Valeria by Daily Magic Games. I really like this. It's really fun.
All right. The next one I want to talk about is Matainai from Esmati Games. And I'm cheating a little bit. I would just basically tell you it's a deck of cards that you use. But no, in Matainai, each player is a monk in a temple, and you're trying to perform all these different tasks to, like, you know, collect resources and that sort of stuff. You know, to complete works. So kind of like Glory to Rome, you've got this little player reference sheet. You know, and you'll be playing cards, and it kind of depends, like, whatever side of the board you play them to reflects what they are. You know, like, you're going to be putting stuff on the top, and that's going to be your action that you'll do on your turn. The ones on the left-hand side of your board, those are going to be your visitor. Is that what those guys are? Your helpers, they're going to, you know, give you more actions when you do tasks associated with their suit, in a sense, their color. And then the ones on the right-hand side are going to be your sales contracts or something like that, where you're trying to to fulfill those to, you know, to score them at the end of the game. And below your board, you're going to be gaining your resources that you use to actually build these works. But basically, you know, there's a deck of cards. Each card is unique, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And each one kind of has these different effects. Like I'm saying, like, there are five different suits that, you know, they function based on what their suit is. That, like, that's the action that you can do. But the bulk of it kind of comes from once you've built a couple of the works next to your board. Those will let you, those will give you, like, special bonuses that only you get to do, basically. So it really kind of builds up, you're building an engine with all these established things that you've put out there, you know, so they'll give you, like, unique powers that scale up, and eventually it gets to a point where you're doing a lot more than just basically playing a card to do an action. But I don't know, I've played this a few times now, and I really did like it, like, after it kind of resonated. Like, the first play we played incorrectly, Brandon. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you got the basic idea of it, yeah. Too. It was just a little longer than it should have been. But then, you know, the next play after that, like, it really felt like it clicked for me. It was like, all right, this seems to be cool. And this was actually with Rachel, my wife. And she wasn't a huge fan. It felt very, like, confrontational to her. But I think that might have been just the way the way it played out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played it again at Toy Fair, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And it still kind of has, like, it feels like it can be a little swingy at points, or it feels, yeah, like it's kind of restrictive. But, you know, part of that, like, is intended to be, it's intended to be a pretty quick game that has some of that depth of, like, ramping up and getting to a point where you're just doing a lot more than you could at the beginning of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, I really did like Mantai, and I just need to find the right way to play it, or, you know, just play with the right person or whatnot, you know, because I think it does take some time to get to a point where you're comfortable in, like, just playing a quick game, and, you know, what happens.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think I wasn't good at picturing it that way. Like, oh, because when we played the one at Toy Fair, like, there was just nothing I could do. Like,
right.
I just couldn't draw anything, but yeah, it wasn't that long. Like, maybe it was, right, 25 minutes or something. You know what I mean? So it wasn't that big a deal. But
no, and it's funny you were saying that, but even, like, over the course of the game, like, we kind of had similar board states for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like I was, to me, it felt like I was being very restricted because your cards were affecting what I could do on,
right,
your action. So it felt like I was in a position that I needed to catch up to you. And then all of a sudden, it just takes, like, a couple completed works to really to change that feel, because obviously by the time, like, it did end, it did feel like it was kind of lopsided. But I think it was also because I needed to end it then. I think you were kind of on the verge of turning that corner depending, yeah, on what you drew, and I must have just drawn the right ones to finish the game,
yeah,
with did, the, yeah, like, the dynamics of what was going on. But no, yeah, I really liked it. So
yeah, I mean, to me, it's Glory to Rome for two.
Yeah.
Because we discover Glory to Rome with two just doesn't really work.
Yeah.
But this works with two, so I don't know that I would play Mantai and I with four, you know what I mean?
Right, there is an option like that, but the basic core game, I believe, like, that's, there, it comes in a couple different ways. The basic one is just the two-player game, I believe, and then there's a deluxe version, which, does that just throw more cards, like, more of the same in?
It's just two decks.
Two decks?
The same exact deck.
Okay.
I think you just shuffle them together.
And then you play with, yeah, those additional, yeah, two people.
Yeah, so you'd have everything doubled up.
So, yeah.
Nice. Last, I'm going to cover one more game, because I played Civilizations from Grana Games and not Hobby World. I don't know. I thought that was them. So I played this game with my wife. So Civilizations is kind of an action selection game. So you have a bunch of different roles and things you can do. You can go hunt wood, and you can do a bunch of other things like that. Oh, Passport Game Studios. Sorry. And so everybody secretly picks one action. Sorry, in turn order, you pick one action to go face down and one to go face up. And then everybody picks, and then you reveal the one you put face down, but you can see the face up one as you're selecting. Why that matters is if I choose to do something alone, I may gain, you know, two resources. But if I pick the same thing as you, I gain three. But if I pick the same thing as three people, then it goes down to one. So it's kind of like you want to do it with some people, but not with a whole bunch. So that's what you do. In two-player, there is a dummy that's super simple. You just literally shuffle a deck, play one face down and one face up. So I don't even count that as a dummy player. Like, it's so simple, it's not, you know, it's just leading to that. So you do that, and then you gather resources. There's a bunch of different things you can steal from people, and there's three different resources. And then at the end, you get to pick kind of like a tech upgrade that you want to take. You spend those resources to get them. And the early tech upgrades give you, like, abilities. So it'll be like, oh, if you do something alone, gain a bonus one of that type. So now you're trying to do things alone. And then as you get towards the end of the game, they're just straight up worth points, like happy faces or whatever, which are points. And so you play through, and there's, like, multiple ages, but each age is, I believe you have 8 action cards. You play 2 at a time, and there's 3 rounds in an age. Get them all back, 3 more rounds. Get them all back, 3 more rounds. So that's 9 rounds total. Wasn't even 45 minutes that I think it says on the box, probably 30. Total up your points and see who won. It was fun. It was good. Like, I mean, we played the 2-player, and that was neat. I think it plays like 4, and I guess that wouldn't be that frustrating. I was thinking, like, oh, that'd be 2 more players than we had, but we really had 3 because we had the dummy there. So it was a neat game. Civilizations, not crazy amazing, like, wow, run out and everybody see it, but it was a solid game. I'd play it again, and that's Civilizations from Piranha and Passport Games Studios. So that's what we've been playing and what's on our table. Let us know what's on yours. All right, our discussion topic today, I alluded to this earlier, but we're going to talk about games that we feel need a second chance. So this is totally just us, not even other people, or at least for mine. They're just games that I'm like, hey, I think I want to give that game a second chance, or I need another play of that.
I made like 3 lists.
Nice. What is that? Games other people means I need to?
Games that I think need another chance. Games that I gave a second chance and it was good. And games that I gave a second chance and it's bad.
Could be tough.
No, but I mean, we could do whatever. We could even save some of that for later, but...
No, it's good. I mean, I got a bunch of games here, so we'll just go back and forth.
All right.
You can talk about
which ones, the ones that were.
Well, I only have games that I think need a second chance. Why don't you do your other 2 then first? Games you gave a second chance, and then we'll go and do what we all did.
All right.
You should do bad first.
Bad first?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me pull that up. All right. So there were a few that I gave, you know, that second chance to. So the first one I'll talk about was at Gen Con 2 years ago, I believe, Queen's Architect.
Oh, yeah.
And that one was kind of like the first time we played it. It was at Gen Con.
Mm-hmm.
The rules were a little, like, sketchy. Like, it didn't feel like we were getting the real play. I believe we tried it again after the fact, maybe even at Gen Con again.
Mm-hmm.
We tried it again, and it still just didn't have those back and forth dynamics. But, you know, some people did really like it. I guess this might be one of those, like, third chance possibilities. You know, I didn't completely rule it out. It's not one that I hate, but it's one I gave a second chance to, and it didn't, like, bump it up. And I was hoping, maybe my expectations were too high for this one.
Well, it's Rotto's fault. Rotto totally told us that game was amazing. We were so excited, and I still love you, Rotto.
So another one, I guess we'll hark on Rotto.
Oh, gosh.
Legends of Andor. Oh. Just, again, another one where it's like we tried it once. We didn't think we, like, really hit on the stuff that people were enjoying about it. We gave it some time, you know, decided, like, hey, let's come back to this one. It seems like it's got all these cool parts that, you know, we should love. We tried it again, and granted, I think we played the first scenario each time. I don't know if that changes anything, but we did try it again, and it just still had that same, you know.
Well, it's weird because, like, he'll say, like, oh, you know, that game is so great, but the combat isn't really that great. That's not really my favorite part of the game. But, like, you can't avoid combat. Because you have to take those minions out. Of course, we played that first scenario. Maybe a later one. Like, I'm sure you have to do combat at some point, because that's part of it. But, like, that was a big part of it. Just, like, let me roll a die. Oh, I failed, so I could re-roll. Oh, I failed, so I could re-roll. Oh, I failed, so I could re-roll. Hey, I got a hit! Like, that was it. It was just, did I do it or not? And
But yeah, those the Legends of Endor just didn't work as well for us. I know some people again who really do love it, just not for us. Uchronia, a Carl Chudik game. We talked about Matai and I. That kind of fit that like Glory to Rome sort of feel.
Yeah.
Uchronia felt like we wanted it to feel that way as well, because it was one that came in print. It was available for a while. It still might be, but it kind of had that design where we were thinking, oh, you know, he took Glory to Rome and fixed the parts that were problematic, you know. But we tried it once, and it just took way too long. We were like, no, yeah, we missed something with this one. And then I believe we played it at least one more time. I don't know if it was two more times, but, you know, they were all kind of, they all fell flat. And we were hoping for something Glory to Rome plus, but, you know, we'll still revert back to Glory to Rome for like a more than two player feel from Carl Chudik.
We're referencing Glory to Rome way too much in this episode. I really want to play now.
Yeah.
Such a great game.
Just the two of us?
No, we'll play Matai now.
Yeah, so that was Uchronia. Pathfinder, the adventure card game. And that very much is probably circumstantial for us, where we played the Skull and Shackles four player, and it just did not work. It didn't have that, like, it didn't have any tension or anything like that. It just wasn't fun. But you swear by the original one, two player.
Super fun.
And, you know, we never tried that. And it's frustrating that it was negative from our experience. You know, I don't think I'm going to try any of the other ones. But, you know, there's probably something there. And I could totally see this being just like a sit down, don't even really pay much attention to it. Like, you know, like there's a game, but it's not really like, it doesn't have, it's not intended to be this heavy, thinky Euro or something like that. Like, I can see the value there, but, you know, it just didn't work for us.
I don't think it bothers me that that didn't work for us. I wish our wives played Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Because it would just be awesome if we all just had decks and they just knew them and we just cruised through, like, you know, and they just, you know, I know my wife would have an elf deck, like she would just, and she's played it with me and she likes it, she'll play, but it's usually just like, well, what do you want to play? I really want to play Lord of the Rings. Okay, I'll play. And she plays, and she's like, I don't really ever quite get it. And she likes having an elf deck, it's cool, but I wish, like, we all had our, like, go-to deck, and we just sat and played. And then I wouldn't even care that we didn't like Pathfinder, because we'd have that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, Pathfinder, although ironically, I think Kathy and I are three quests away from beating the whole first base set. And we haven't done it, so. But we could sit that down in an afternoon and just knock that out.
Yeah.
It's not that long with two. But yeah, that was a funny game that just worked with the two of us and just didn't work with four of us.
Yeah. And the last one I wanted to mention was Small World. You know, and that's just totally one where it's not my style. And I want it to be because it looks like it kind of is this lighthearted sort of... fun, fantastical game, but it's really a mean cutthroat, like,
yeah,
combat oriented, you know.
Yeah, that game just, yeah, I have to play it with the coins face up, because I can't handle the whole, like, I'm relying on you to know information that I know, or I don't know the information, I just didn't track the coins in my head. It just was so much easier to just have everybody's points right there, out in the open, so you could be like, look, I swear I'm not winning. Like,
right.
And having people make decisions, you know.
Yeah.
It just relies, it's just that classic, it relies too much on the other players to do the moves that you're hoping they do. I may be wrong, because they're the best for me, but I'm still convinced they're the best for the table. Like, that's what you have to do. And that was that. But yeah, it's so fun. It's so beautiful. All the characters.
I want to like
two-player, it's great, because then it's direct conflict. Then you just, boom, smash face.
I don't it. I tried it. That's when I gave it the second chance, and
man,
it just
so good,
doesn't...
Two-player, I'd play it any time.
Not with me.
That's a fun list. I wish I hadn't made that and thought of that.
Yeah, and then I guess getting to that other side of the coin, where it was a second try, and, you know, either it further established that it was a great game, or, you know... it took a step from bad to awesome, or something, you know, something like that. Bad to good, I guess, could be that jump. But Terra Mystica, totally one where if you played enough, playing it once doesn't really give it justice. You really need to figure out what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish. So
people should just know it's amazing because I'm telling them.
Yeah, but even that first play, they're not going to be like, oh, Brant, you told me the truth right off the bat. I feel like they need
tell the truth.
They need to give that second go, and then like they need to see that there's value in it, and then play a fun game that second time.
There you go.
So that one, yeah, I love that game now. It wasn't one of my favorites at first, but it's really taking that leap. Race for the Galaxy is another one that was like that, and that's not even a second try sort of game. That's give it a 10th try and you'll like it, because you know I must have played this game. I played it once a while ago, like when I was just getting into board games, and I had no clue how to like to progress like that. You know, it was very, very different than anything I'd tried. Like, this is back when, you know, I'd only really played like maybe like Dominion and Talisman, and besides that, it's all like the classics, like Monopoly and stuff like that. So really just trying to figure out like what you're trying to accomplish with this one is another, like, you really need to build up an engine, and you need to know how to structure that engine.
Yeah.
With the actions that you can play. So, you know, I played it once way back when. I didn't even come close to doing anything, you know. Like, I think I drew some cards, and that might have been about... I felt like I accomplished something with that. But I did that. And then, you know, after a few more games that I got... Like, after playing a bit longer, you know, I got it back to the table as a two-player game with my wife. And she had played it, like... You know, she had played it so much that I was coming into it without having any of that, like, history for it. So we played it, and it must have been, like, 8 or 9 games where she just destroyed me each one. You know, when it was getting closer to, like, that 10th game, I think I was kind of... I was on the verge, but I wasn't breaking through. You know, I wasn't winning at all. But, you know, once it kind of got to that point where I did win a game at her, or a game against her, like, that's where it kind of took that, it turned that corner, and now we play it, and it's that, like, back and forth, you know, you really have to be on top of your game to know, to win, you know, and it does feel like it's closer to that, like, 50-50 split, like, we're both playing it at an equal level, so... But that took a while to get down.
I haven't played race in so long. I play roll all the time now.
Yeah.
I'd be intrigued to see how I do a race.
No. But, I mean, I think part of that, too, is just progressing into the gaming hobby as well. So I'm glad I gave that one a second chance. And now that's, you know, top 10 for me.
Nice.
So, let's see. What's next? Glass Road. I think that one...
Yeah.
That one was one that, you know, I think I played it like three player a little bit, you know, but I think I gave it a second try as a four player game, and it just seemed to kind of take that next step up. So I'm really glad I tried that one out.
Nice.
Thanks to Dave at the for the meetup group. I mean, that was awesome. I know that's one of his favorite games. But yeah, no, I really like that one now. I'd play it again. I'd want to keep it at that higher player count and really have that kind of that tension at all turns, but that one was fun. Let's see, another one, Terraforming Mars, kind of in the similar sort of feel to Terra Mystica, where you really need to know what you're trying to accomplish. And I know it's not the same style of game, but it kind of felt like a similar dynamic to me, where I needed to play it enough to kind of feel saturated in it, in a sense, like really understand it. And I haven't come close to winning at Terraforming Mars, so I'm not at that level, like as a multiplayer competitive. I think playing a few times solo makes me feel like I'm a little stronger with it.
Yeah.
But I really do like that one, and I know the first play it didn't really feel like it knocked it out of the park that much for us.
Right.
But it was one where we were thinking, you know, hey, we need to get this one back to the table. We really want to try this one again, and then. I feel like each game has kind of felt that way, where it's like, okay, yeah, I see this one, and it does work really smoothly.
Yeah, I'm a huge proponent with that one, that, like, you just gotta throw everything in. You just need the kitchen sink and all that, you know? Like, you just, all the cards gotta get shuffled in, you gotta give people the special powers, and I think you have to draft. Like, it doesn't add that much time to the game. Like, people say 30 minutes, but I don't even know if it's that. I mean, there's a little bit of thinking with the draft.
Yeah.
But it's like you can almost be thinking about your turn anyway while people are drafting. It's not that big a deal. You know, and then some people start with a resource and everything, but it's so different if you start at zero of everything, right, and you have to generate your own. Like, I love that. Like, really trying to do that. But, yeah, no, that one's
good. I would say, though, drafting, I feel like drafting is much better when you're playing with, like, with similar levels of opponents. Yeah, you know, like, you should try to play it with people. Like, if it's someone's first play.
Yeah, I could see not drafting first play.
Would be matter. Very overwhelming to them. Right. Especially, like, even so, like, I feel like with that, they can be handing the victory to their, you know, the people right next to them.
Yeah. No, I'd be down with not drafting the first time you play with people.
But even still, like, I know when we played at the store, like, I'm not saying that I drafted poorly or anything, but there's a very good chance that I did, you know, in a sense where it's like I'm valuing stuff solely based on my assumptions based on other games.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of looking at it from that perspective, I guess this one's a little strange because you don't know exactly when that end is going to happen, like when the final turn will happen in Terraforming Mars, you know. So there is a little bit more of that, like, playing the game of, like, oh, can I actually play all these cards? Or, you know, how am I going to optimize my hand and utilize everything that I've taken without, you know, without knowing that specific timer?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm glad I've played this one a few more times, and I want to keep getting it to the table.
Nice.
The last one, I guess, was kind of another last one from last year, Great Western Trail, kind of a similar thing. I think with this one, I'm so glad I got it to the table with more than two people. I think that's where the bulk of the game comes into play.
Yeah.
So that's just a player count issue. It's really like second chance with a higher player count. So, yeah.
Yeah, that game pretty much gets better every play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so here's my games that need a second chance. Sometimes it's not just a second play. It's kind of like I set it aside and I need to come back to it.
Like a second take on it,
I guess. Yeah, but not this one. So Dominant Species is one of the first ones on my list. So we play, do you play this game long ago? Yeah, it was like one of the first ones I played with you. We played like a 5-player 7-hour or something, like way into the night. Like, it was like 3:30 in the morning or something, right, when we finished.
It was pretty late. One person was out of it like
early. Yeah. So I gotta try it again. People love it. I think this is gonna be the coup de grace on my area control, though, because I mean, this is the most vicious of area control. Literally just, oh, you have that space, boom, I'll just eat all those guys and you're dead. And not only are you losing that space, you're not even in that space anymore.
Right.
I have a feeling that's just going to be like, and I'll just be over. But I still want to try it. The cards are interesting. The ideas are interesting. Again, I guess it comes down to some of that, like, everybody at the table recognizing, like, oh, I could do this, and it'd be a good move, but, like, do I need to completely take that person out of the game? Like, that could be good, but not necessarily. Like, that's overkill, right?
Yeah. You're making me a little nervous. Like, I really do want to get this one back to the
table. But not with me.
I don't think I want to play with you, but I will if it's what it takes. If that's what it takes to get it back to the table, I'll play with you.
Fair enough. Nice. Do you want to go back and forth, or you want me to do a bunch?
Either way.
All right. I'll keep going here. I'm a little hesitant on this one, but I threw it down. Food Chain Magnate. I've actually played that twice, but I guess I would try it again. It didn't really quite resonate for me, and it was definitely that whole, like, somebody could just run away with the whole thing, but I guess, like, it's not that overly complicated, and there's definitely lots of strategies to try with all those cards, so people just talk about it so much, it's like, I guess I gotta play it again. And similar to Race for the Galaxy, if everybody gets 8 to 10 plays in, then everybody should understand. So that should keep that.
That would be tough.
Like, I don't really think it's a runaway leader problem. Like, oh, somebody will just, it's just people have to know how to, like, stop that person or whatever. Yeah, no, I agree. 8 to 10. Of course, people play it online.
No, yeah.
But I just,
for us, I can't, for, like, what we've been able to do, you know, like, all the games that I was looking at, like, I could have, you know, 90% of my list is, like, one play, you know, of the things that I have played. That's one that is at that one play for me right now. I don't think I put it on mine to try out again. I think the ones that I put are ones where I, like, I want to play Food Chain Magnate again, but it's not one where I felt like this is a, like, I didn't feel like I needed to give it a new perspective. I felt like I liked it and I want to play it again, but it's not one that's, you know, I don't need to change my opinion on it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, so here's one of my biggies, is Scythe. So I've actually played Scythe 3 times. Solo played it. Very interesting solo play. It's this whole, like, you pick an enemy, and then they, like, teleport around the board to attack you. It's very interesting. It's not just kind of like... So it's definitely a dummy player you have to control. It's an automata, you know, is what it is. And it was interesting. It took me a while. It was like 90 minutes to play, like, solo and figure out where all those things go, and I still think I messed up.
Yeah.
And I was like, boy, I don't know how I'm doing. Like, they've got space all over the board. So at the end of the game, I had 74 points, and the person I played, the automata, had 33. So I absolutely crushed him. I played on the simplest setting. That's what it suggested. But it didn't feel that way as I was playing. I was like, oh my gosh, he's getting all these stars. He's going to be worth all these points. And how am I going to get my reputation up? But
so that's how your value... Like, that just makes it even more scary to play area control or anything.
Yeah, just the number of stars. Yeah.
Just looking at how you've evaluated your board state as a solo game.
Yeah.
I can see where, you know, anything might be.
So, but anyway, Scythe is so popular, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's winning Game of the Year awards for 2016. I really struggle with the ending, not in the solo play. It just doesn't have that. You can decide to put down multiple stars, but they can't, so that's not going to pop up on you randomly. But I just find that ending just so quick. And I understand that people are saying, yeah, but the ending just comes after you've, like, set up your engine and you've established and you figured that. But I've just seen too many little, like, tricksy things. Like, oh, I'll just all of a sudden just end so fast. Or anyway,
this is probably
it's just weird to me how fast it ended. It's still strange. But man, is it gorgeous. Like, I wasn't sure about, like, best components because of the non-Kickstarter edition, which is the one that you have that I was playing. No.
But they're still really
they're
good.
They're so good. I mean, you don't have those resources, which are so nice, but they're still shaped wooden pieces. Like, you know, in almost every game, that's we're super excited about it. Yeah. You know, and just that board you lay out and the art on these cards and the fact that there's, like, spots on the board for all the decks. Like, yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful game. It really is. So I'm really dying. I'm trying to get my wife to play it, but so far, no good. Haven't gotten her to play.
This is probably the game where... this is probably the one that would make me get Assault of the Giants back to the table. You know, because I've played Scythe at lower player counts and higher player counts. And I don't want to give it another try at higher player counts.
Gotcha.
I want to play it at lower player counts.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where it's the reverse. I came at Assault of the Giants with a higher player count, and I'd want to try it with a lower player count. So, that's all. I mean, I like it. Or I like it based on the like a 3-player game that I've played for Scythe. So that definitely is one that I want to keep getting to the table. But again, very dependent on how many people.
Yeah, so then the only other negative in Scythe, I guess I had another. I don't know, I just had. But like that whole river walking thing is super weird. Like where you can cross rivers and when you can cross them. It's a very strange mechanism for trying to keep people bottled in, and then eventually they could move. There's some strange movement things in there, but anyway, that's one. Why don't you list off one or a few or whatever?
Antiquity, a bigger splatter spelling game, and that one I'd like to try again, but it's one of those ones that's, you know, when am I actually going to get it to the table to give it its due, in a sense? You know, but it is one where it was interesting in, like, this whole unique sort of thing. But I don't know. I need to try it again is basically the gist of that. So kind of along the... I guess mine are almost in alphabetical order, but except at the end. So The Colonists. I don't know if this one's on your list as well.
Yeah, Colonists is on mine.
Okay, so I'm stealing your thunder. But that's one that I'd like to try again. And I'm hoping that I missed something with it. So...
Yeah, people just keep asking me, like, oh, what'd you think of The Colonists? I'm like, well, there really was an interaction. And, like, I don't necessarily mind that it's long, but, like, there was nothing to fight over. And it was just, oh, 3 turns ago, I totally should have done this. Like, could I just go back? Because it doesn't really matter. And, like, you put all those spaces out, but it doesn't really matter where they go. Like, that didn't feel super clever. Like, oh, I'll tuck this here, and then I'll be able to get there. But man, people just rave about this game. They love it. It's big. It's exciting. So then people are like, well, what did other people like that you didn't like? What did you miss? And it's like, so I'm totally in that boat of like, I got to try this again because I don't think we missed anything. I really don't. I feel like we figured it out, but...
But we didn't play it to completion.
Yeah, but we guess we got to go through. So, yeah, no, I agree with that one.
Yeah, the next one is actually one that I put on here because of you a lot. A lot of it's because of you, Brant. some of it's actually, like, so Covert is one that I really want to try.
Yeah.
You were recommending two-player, worked really well. So I want to try that one out. I know it was one of the, it was a showcase game at the library a while ago. So I kind of, you know, brought it back out to, like, learn it, not play it necessarily, but I was able to help teach for that. But it's one that I want to get back to the table and try, you know, as a game that I can play with Rachel or, you know, maybe even a higher player count, but I want to try it with two, you know, relatively soon.
Yeah, it was surprisingly cool with two. It was like, oh, this totally works.
Yeah.
And there was nothing really different. Very similar to Mombasa. When I played that too, like, you would think, oh, this is going to just not work, and it just worked, and there's nothing that changes. There aren't, like, a set of rules that are like, this is what you totally change with two. It just works.
That's where I need
super cool.
I need a second chance at Mombasa in the terms of pitching it to my wife to play.
Yeah.
Because...
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I need to try that with her too.
Cool. I've got Manhattan Project, Energy Empire. I just talked about this like two podcasts ago. But again, people keep talking about it. Now, yesterday I listened to John Getz Games was on Dukes of Dice. And they were Sean and John were talking about this. And they were more in my boat of like, it's this cool game and the mechanisms work and everything's there. And it seems like I should love it. And it was just okay. And that's very much how I felt. So I was like, uh-oh, I'm starting to see reviewers, so I'm starting to wonder maybe this is one I should just let go. but I know I have to play this with my daughter because I used to play Manhattan Project with her. Don't ask. So I'm going to try it with her at some point and see how that goes, and it'll at least be a good play there. So I have that one. Then I really want to play Rune Wars again, going all the way back, which is a big fantasy flight, big box game. Fantasy, just so much to that game, and like the card combat would frustrate people, but I totally want to get this out again because you have all these powers. Yeah, you played it with me.
Okay.
And try it again. I played it with my wife in two player, like the board, you build the board, and the way you build the board could kind of hamper pretty strongly in two player, especially. But she said she was interested in playing that again, which is funny that like she was down with playing that, but side, no, like I don't know, it's just funny what people play, but it's again, she's played it before with me, so it's like, oh, we'll try it again. But I'm definitely trying to play Rune Wars.
Nice. Yeah, so Crisis, we played that once, right? That was the name of it.
Yeah. Oh, I found that weird.
That one was, yeah, it was a little strange, but I'd like to try that one again. I can't really give you much, it's not fresh on my mind, but that's a game that it hasn't really hit wide distribution in the States, but it's one, if you get a chance to try it out, it's definitely got a unique feel to it.
Yeah.
So I want to try that one again. Orleans, I need to play that one a bit more.
You need all the expansions.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I guess with the, like, the solo, I guess that feels like a different game. The solo game, or the, not solo, the cooperative game.
Yeah.
Feels like a much different game. I want to try the, like, competitive one again and try it with, you know, a little more depth to it. You know, hopefully with some stuff fixed from what I was finding problems with, but yeah, that one deserves another play. The next one I'll go over one more, I guess, and then you could hit a few. So Marco Polo, that's one I've only played once, but I want to try that one again and see. I guess some people really do like it, and then it feels like it's kind of dropped off the radar, but I guess that's also probably because is it out of print at the moment? I think a lot of people are talking about that as like one that they hope comes back, but that's one that I'd like to try again and really see how those different strategies work and really try to use that.
Yeah, it was a neat game. It was kind of like, oh, this is fun. And then I tried again, oh, that's fun. Oh, that's fun. And then it just kind of plateaued from there. Like, it didn't really go down. It was just kind of plateauing. But I think I did play that several times. I probably played about four or five times. So
you're kind of done with that.
Yeah, I can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
So mine are Tyrants of the Underdark. I really like that game. I actually did play it a second time recently, so I guess that's kind of it. But I've been trying to get it with like three or four. I played it with two, but I'll play it with three or four. I'm discovering deck building with a board. I'm totally into. This is area control. I totally get why I like it. The area control is so long term, it doesn't really matter. It's not so direct, like, shoot, I'm going to miss that point scoring round one turn from now. And then, the same thing happened again, because it's all at the end of the game, scoring the points. And that deck building add in there, just like Clank, love it. Deck building with a board, awesome. Grand Austria Hotel, I got to play it with two. Mm-hmm. People keep talking about this, and I just got to try it again. I found the Punisher.
Yeah, that one is on my list, too.
Oh, gotcha. Ginkopolis is totally talked up a lot by What Did You Play This Week podcast. I think they dropped the thing. So it's just What Did You Play This Week podcast.
Oh.
and that one is just one going around there and a couple places on Twitter. So we played this a while ago. I remember thinking like, oh, okay, it was fun. But
I liked it.
I got to get back to it. Right. So.
I didn't think you or like the other person that we played with, I think it was Ben. I don't think you guys were that high on it, but I guess I wasn't like speaking it up to the point where we got it back to the table anyway.
I just got two more here. Libertalia, that's like that six player.
Nope.
Did you play
I don't want to play that one.
You just too many people, too much chaos?
I didn't think it was fun.
Gotcha. So I want to try that one again, because, again, plays with six, so I just want to see. I'm sure it's a bunch of chaos and piratey, but sometimes, like, when I get, well, I, you know, thematic is cool as far as I'm concerned. And then Nations. Love Through the Ages. And lately, so many people are saying, Nations is the best. Don't argue with me about Through the Ages. And I don't even comprehend. Like, Through the Ages is just so good. And it's so much fun. And I understand that all the cards come out and there's no randomness in terms of like what will you see and what won't you see. So every game you could argue is the same. But they're these giant decks that come out in a different order every age. So it's like it's not fixed. It's not a fixed thing. But people are loving Nations. I understand the war element in Nations is basically like here's a threshold, meet it or suffer. So you can kind of plan for that. So people like that element, whereas you could just kind of hammer somebody over the head with war in Through the Ages. But I just feel like that's good. Like, it is punishing, but you just that's another thing you prepare for. Like, it's not immediate. So I got to play Nations again. I got to give them credit. In the rule book, because I played two-player twice on Nations, and in the rule book I read, it says, you can try this two-player, but it's a lot more cutthroat of a game. Like, it's a lot more swingy, and or the other way, just somebody could just run away ahead in two-player because it's just you gain the bonuses or you gain the negatives. So one person's going to get the bonus and one person's going to get the negative, and that's just going to push people apart or, you know, just swing things really fast. So they actually recommend the game at three and four players over two players. Which is probably how I'm going to get to play it next, is two-player. Could also solo it, but I don't think that's the experience that I'm going for. So, anywho.
Did you bring that to the store at some point, do you think?
Nations?
Or, yeah.
Oh, to try it.
I don't know. I mean, you'd get more than two people there.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to try. Now, what I could see is Through the Ages is so good at two, but the more players, again, it's just not quite as good. It's just so long. So maybe Nations is the three- or four-player version to play. You know, similar to Matinize, the two-player Glutarome. Got to keep getting it in there. So, that's my list of there. But I'm adding one to your list. No,
I've
you got
one
finish.
More. Okay. I've only got one more. Pelopones. I mean, that one.
Oh, that was great. I love that game.
Yeah, it felt weird to me. But I want to get it. Oh, it's weird. I want to play it again.
Yeah. No, I do want to try that one again. The auction is weird. Like, it's like all or nothing. That is intriguing. How about Twilight Struggle?
Yeah, that one's one that I want to play again.
Yeah.
And not that I want to change my opinion, though. Like, it's kind of in the food chain magnate. Like, I want to do it at some point, kind of out that, like, that arbitrary, like, someday I'll get it to the table. But, yeah, no, I really like that one. I was thinking Twilight Imperium at first, but I need to play that one time.
I think you'd like it more than you would think you
Which?
Would not like
Twilight Imperium. No, I want to try it.
I don't think you'd be like, I'm down for a 7-hour game every weekend. Right. But I think you'd be like, oh, this is epic. This is arcing. This is cool. As much as dice rolling and Ameritrash is in there.
And that's not you just projecting that onto me. Like, sometimes there's like, oh, yeah, you'll like this one. And then like,
no, I think you'll like it. Wow, that was exhausting. That was a lot of second chance games.
Yeah. All right. We need to work on that list.
Nice. Let us know what games you want to give a second chance. All right, We're going to do a brief what we love about. We haven't done these in a little while. Dot, dot, dot. And we're just going to talk about some classic games or some modern classics. New and old. So I just thought with this idea, like the second chance these games are like, you know, this game was so awesome. I need to bring that back and play it again. So for me, like the modern one that I'm thinking of that I played recently is I played the new Agricola.
Oh, okay.
And I totally forgot how good Agricola is. Like, that is just such a modern classic. It's a great game. I always say, you know, the tricky part with Agricola is you have to say, okay, everybody, today we're dealing the cards, and tomorrow we're playing the game, because everybody needs to know that set of cards. I did a little solo play, so it was just kind of on my own, but Agricola is a super great game in terms of that. Probably, like, I guess the oldest of the games that I love is Bridge. I totally love Bridge, classic card game. I just think it's so thinky. You are sometimes just totally stuck by your cards. Like, you just can't do anything. But once people know it, the hands don't take that long. So I guess it's similar to our Matai and I. Like, sometimes it's just not there for you. You finish that hand and you play the next one, you know, and just go from there.
Yeah, so. I mean, that one's just so, like, I get frustrated with the, like, memorization. Or, like, you know, just remembering what's been played. And I guess that's just not the aspect that I would pull out of a game and say, I like this part of it. And I feel like there's so much of it in Bridge that it just isn't one that resonates as much with me. And maybe if I played it enough, but I don't want to get to that point necessarily, you know.
So games, going back to, like, I guess my childhood, like, I played this game Leverage, which is like a balancing, move the pieces around the board. That was always cool. Axis and Allies, like, that was like one of my first big games. So that's super good. Restoration Games is bringing out Stop Thief, and I totally played that growing up, and that's awesome. I'm intrigued to see where that comes. Probably my favorite classic game, still would play it today, is Careers. Careers was a roll and move game, and you would go through these places, and it was kind of like Monopoly, I guess everything's like Monopoly. But you, like, could go into different jobs, and you could go to college, and you could do all these things, and it was just super neat. So loved that one. Screaming Eagles was like a two-player Milton Bradley. That was super fun. And then, of course, the granddaddy to me, Battle Masters, with the giant mat that you roll out and the figures. And that game is just awesome. So that was one of my, like, classic childhood. What are some games you think of from back then?
Yeah, no, it was funny walking through Toy Fair. There were a few games where it was like, oh, I remember that one. Like, some of the time it was like one that I never played or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we saw Gooey Louie. I don't know if you were with me, but that one was totally one where I was like, oh, I remember this from, like, you know, all the commercials, and I don't think my mom would have ever let me get it growing up, but it's just kind of that neat, like, nostalgia to it. But right next to it, or pretty close by, was Topple, which I remember. Oh, I loved that game growing up, and I played that all the time with my brother, and, you know, kind of looking back at it, like, I forgot about it, but now all of a sudden it's like, oh, that was, you know, that was a fun game. But yeah, kind of along those lines, like, we definitely played a lot of stuff with the family growing up, like Setback or Cribbage. And it's funny, like, at the store, there have been a lot of people playing Cribbage. It's pretty surprising to me. Like, I wouldn't have expected it, you know, at all. And all of a sudden, like, I'm looking at the Magic events that are going on, and all of a sudden there's like a Cribbage board set up while people are in between rounds.
Nice.
And it's neat to see.
Yeah.
It's not one that's like that I'm necessarily playing with, like, the meetup group or anything like that, but it's cool that it's going on still, and I would totally play it again with my family. But along with that, I know, like, Talisman has, like, a very, like, unique play. Like, it's not a good game at all. but it has that nostalgia. Like, I remember playing that one growing up, and just, you know, like it's totally like, if I play it with that group that I played it with when I was younger, we'll have a blast. Anyone else, I'd rather play something that's got, you know, some level of strategy to it. But that was a cool one, and I think it'll be coming back out. Like, I think Games Workshop brought it back in, and they're going to be releasing a version of that one too, I think, this year. But yeah, so that's Talisman. And then I'm trying to think, like, you know, there are a few, like, Magic was one that I was always playing growing up. What else? Munchkin you know, those were ones where I'm not going to get them back to the table, but, you know, I can recognize that, like I might try to get Munchkin back in style. Like, I might try to get a copy to, like, run for events, you know, mm-hmm. if there's, like, an after-school sort of thing that we do or something like that.
Yeah.
I could see that one just being an easy one to say, you know, hey, this is fun. You guys will enjoy it.
Right.
I'm not going to play, but you guys will love it.
I'll be over here.
So, nice. Yeah, those were a few. I know, like, I used to play chess a little bit, like, you know, just in random, like, school activity sort of things. But I don't know. I don't see myself playing that one. I don't think she's played it before. So she just isn't in that mindset of wanting to learn it.
Yeah.
And it's got that, like, abstract feel where I don't think she'll be playing it with me. And, you know, I'm fine with that. But that one was one that I played a bit growing up, and it's kind of fallen off for me.
But. Nice. I just got a couple modern classics that I threw on here. I just played Shadows Over Camelot the other day, and that was that was super fun. I really enjoyed that. So that was a good one, kind of just going back, you know, recent Ticket to Ride. It wows me every time. Like, every time I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll play Ticket to Ride, and then I just totally have fun with it. Recently played the UK. I think I talked about that on here, and that one's just super fun. And then, you know, still one of my favorites is Kalis. I'll always come back to Kalis. I know it's mean. I know that element is there where you can block other players. But I just enjoy Kalis so much and figuring out how to turn in those batches. So to me, those are just some modern classics like Agricola that I come back to. Even Pandemic. Pandemic's still really in the limelight. I mean, not that these other ones aren't. They totally are. But I just... Like, Pandemic's one of those ones that gave a second chance when we did that whole competition, and it was so good. And now I'm playing Pandemic Legacy with my daughter, and it's super fun with two people. I thought, oh, this is just too easy, and it's just two of us. You want to have experience with more, but it's just so fast. Like, we could just boom, 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 knock it out in, like, 35 minutes. And that just makes it really fun to just keep progressing, you know? So, I think it helps that we haven't lost. We lost once. And every time I think we're going to lose, my daughter pulls off some crazy combo thing that she draws just the right card or figures out. So it's crazy. She's really good. So we're like, oh, we did it. She'll be like, oh, well, let's try that. And I'm like, well, I don't know if that'll work. And then it works.
Yeah.
So it's been good. So, yeah, those are just some classics.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple that, like, that I think there are a couple that will, yeah, that could have that potential going forward. But, like, Splendor is one that's really done pretty well recently. I know there's going to be an expansion soon, so that might help kick it into another gear, but that was one where I got a text from my mom randomly, and she's like, hey, have you heard of this game called Splendor?
Yeah.
You know, my friends really like it. They play it all the time. They love that game. And even just at, like I said, like at an after school event sort of thing, like there were some kids that just gravitated to it.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough to me, like, I just didn't think there was as much flavor in it, but they just had fun collecting gems and trying to accomplish those goals. So I could see that one, especially if the expansion just keeps it going for people.
Very accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Codenames is another one.
Oh, Codenames that, is an instant classic.
Yeah, so that one's worked with my family really well, and they're keeping that line going as well, where they're bringing in some more licenses and all that sort of stuff with, like, you know, Marvel and Disney for Codenames. So, right. Like, stuff like that is cool to see, where hopefully having its presence as for a lengthened period of time, it'll be established as that game that people are going to the store to look for. You know.
Nice. Well, those are some modern and classic classics, so that we love. Let us know some of the ones that you love. All right, there we go. That is episode number 39. Their fire has gone out of the galaxy. So, Brian, take us away with some upcoming items on the horizon.
Yeah, so Jolly Roger and our Ultra Pro, they're going to be coming out with Roadhog and Zirkles pretty soon. I'm not too familiar with either of those, but just keep your eyes out on that. Tasty Minstrel Games, they're going to be coming out with Amon Ray, like a reprint of that, so that'll be fun. Flip City Wilderness, I don't know a whole lot, but I liked Flip City enough. So
awesome.
I'm excited for that one. 3 to 4 headed monster. Just a couple of, like, another one that I don't know much about, but just kind of giving you an idea of what's coming up soon. From Mayday Games, Hi. Yellow is going to be coming out with the King of Tokyo 2nd Edition Cthulhu Monster Pack.
Ooh.
So, yeah, people...
Cthulhu!
That's another one that's kind of...
Yeah, oh, that's a modern
established. Yeah, that one's a really good one. See, along with that, there are some more that are coming up for pre-order soon. So they'll be a little longer down the road, but Trickster Champions of Time. I know I saw that one up on, like, Kickstarter. It didn't, like... get me to that next step to actually back it or anything, but it's one that I'm intrigued about. Mr. Jack in New York. I think that one's just kind of a reprint on that one. That one must have been out for a little while. One Night Ultimate Alien and Werewords from Bezier Games. So those should be a little down the road, but, you know, those seem interesting enough too. Let's see. Sorry, flipping through.
42 props yeah. from Fantasy Flight.
Yeah, a lot of, like, just like expansions.
This is fun count now.
Yeah. Let's see. Gigamic is going to be coming out with Yogi. We had hit on that Toy good. Fair. That one.
It's
that
twice in the episode because it went way longer than I thought.
Oh,
it's not down.
Oh, okay.
So,
that
yeah,
was not a bad one.
I ended up just cutting it and letting everything be there twice. It was a little bit easier so we didn't miss things.
Let's see, Delve from Indie Boards and Cards. That one was on Kickstarter, right? I think.
Yeah.
Let's see, a few more I don't know a whole lot about. It looks like Queen Games is going to be reprinting Lancaster, so that one seems interesting enough. That one would probably be one that I'd give that one a second try.
Yeah, it was fun.
Let's see, Stronghold Games, they've announced, like, Cottage Garden. Is that Flamme Rouge?
Mm-hmm.
Terraforming Mars, the expansion Hellas and Elysium, and Ghost Catchers.
I don't know anything about Ghost Catchers.
Yeah, I don't either. But then finally, Z-Man Games, they have Carcassonne Expansion Pack 5 that's the Abbey and Mare.
Nice.
So that one's another one. Did we talk? Was that one of the instant classics as well? That one's a good one. That's a great game.
It is fun. It doesn't hit me as strongly as other people, but yeah. But no, Carcassonne is good. It's got so many expansions and ways to play it. So
yeah, those were a few games that were coming up. So
awesome.
Check them out.
Those are things on the horizon. This is episode 39, Portal Gaming Podcast. So signing off. I am your host, The Brant, and with me is
your co-host, Brian.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on February 28, 2017. Please send us any questions at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. Thanks for listening.